All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. The date, February the 2nd, 2024, Friday. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it is great wherever you are at. Different sort of day. A little overcast and cloudy and rainy. I think it's supposed to rain, at least some today. I don't know if it's supposed to rain for a couple days or what, but it seems like we got a bit of rain going on today, which is perfectly fine. Came to work. It is Friday. Looking forward to the day. Not a huge busy day. 10 to 5. Typical day for me on a Friday. Definitely busy throughout that time period, but nothing crazy. Go out tonight with the wife for dinner. Great week, right? Another great week. I give it all to sobriety, right? It might sound silly, but I do. I give it all to sobriety. Thank you, sobriety. Thank you for freeing me of that freaking disease of alcoholism and allowing me to enjoy one day at a time a decent life. And for that, I am grateful. I'm still... One of the things for me that still kind of is a trip, right, is a trip. Obviously, there are some clear facts, right? I can't drink. If I do pick up a drink, all hell breaks loose, right? These things are facts. As long as I don't pick up a drink, like in the state that I am in right now, I have no desire to pick up a drink. I have no craving. I am not salivating, right? I'm not wringing my hands. I'm not fighting the battle mentally and physically on trying to keep that alcohol out of my system. But if I pick up a drink and put it in my mouth, I can't shut it off and it won't be able to be shut off until either I lose everything or I get killed. It just doesn't go away. These are the facts, right? It's only a couple of them. I can't drink safely, and if I pick up a drink, I can't stop at all. These are facts. And then there's a lot of like mystery, a lot of mystery, you know, words like ego and pride and humility, all these spirituality, higher power, God of our understanding, God, Jesus. It's crazy. It is crazy. And, I go along with the program, right? I get told, this is how it is. This is what your problem is. I listen and then I sort of, you know, kind of analyze myself. Yeah, I do feel that, right? I do see that. I do feel that taking place, right? But it's all suggestions and, you know, people telling me how, you know, this sort of thing goes. And one of the things for me is I've always been, and I always say this, I try to suggest this to people, you know, experiment it. Right, experiment with God, right? Experiment with spirituality, experiment with higher power. And I don't think all of those are the same. I don't think so. There are books, there are people that will sort of imply that they all are the same. But if they were the same, why aren't they called the same thing, right? Why have three different phrases for three different things if they're all the same thing? People say this is what's going on. This is a relationship with God, a higher power, a God of our understanding, spirituality. They all have opinions. And then we sort of, you know, fall into line into the narrative that somebody else, right, has created for us. And, you know, one of the things that I started doing as far as my recovery goes is I started to experiment. I've shared a few things, you know, laying in bed, closing my eyes, right, saying to myself, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, and watching this veil of fear start to kind of melt away, right, and sort of, you know, realize that I can take a position, a humble position, I can reach out to whatever that is out there, conscience, God, higher power. I can reach out, and I can see how self keeps me in this state, where I don't get to experience these things. Fear keeps me in a jail, right? Locked up. And when I say magic words like, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough, I'm turning this over to you, the door's open, right? And I can start to get an idea or start to experiment what it's like to be free of fear, right? And free of the self-centered fear that has control me my whole life, and I can start to imagine things with my mind, right, and sort of fly, and it's just all this weird shit, right? It's all a bunch of fucking crazy bullshit, right? But it happens. I experiment. You know, I'm fascinated by the brain. I'm fascinated why we have it. I'm fascinated what it's capable of. And, you know, it's one of the greatest things. But I had to break free of the narrative, right? There's a couple of things that I cannot deny. I cannot deny. One is that I'm an alcoholic. And two, if I put a drink in my body, I can't stop drinking.
Summer day, yeah. You just might read this book by its cover, baby. But do you ever wanna look me in the eye and cry? Do you?
Miserable. Black Crowes. Great song. But yeah, you know, these narratives have been sort of put into place. And when I came into this program, they've been sort of, this is how it is. And that's fine. It is, you know, 99% true, right? But there is that part, the spirituality part. And I find it very fascinating. And I'm learning that I have, I've got to sort of experiment and figure it out for myself and understand this relationship. And I bring this all up because I watched this guy, you know, I probably watched the most fascinating podcast last night. I was absolutely blown away. Absolutely blown away. And the podcast that I watched last night was, there's a guy, Danny Jones, Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan's a big podcaster. I think most people know of Joe Rogan. But, you know, when I watched Joe Rogan back in the day, and what I loved about Joe Rogan was he would bring in these great, you know, crazy, you know, guests about UFOs and different things. And I find that stuff very fascinating, right? And so Joe still does that, but not as much, right? So I started following this guy, Danny Jones, and he has a podcast, definitely sort of loosely based off Joe Rogan's podcast. I think most podcasts today are loosely based off Joe Rogan. You know, he's such an inspiration as far as podcasting goes and trying to be a good person. So anyway, Danny Jones had this podcast, and I guess it's probably maybe a year old. I don't even know when it's from, but he had this guy, Billy Carson. And the name of the podcast is Evidence God Found in DNA Code in the Ancient Book of Enoch. And I watched this podcast. It's about 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hour podcast. And what this guy, Billy Carson, talks about is insane. And, you know, this whole premise that, you know, these aliens. And I posted this on my podcast the other day, or on my Facebook. I watched that movie Dune, and it's on Netflix. And I originally watched the first Dune with Sting and, you know, whoever it was back in the, when I was a kid, me and my buddy John saw it. It must have been late 70s, early 80s, right? And I remember we saw the movie because Iron Maiden came out with a song, right? And about the movie, which, you know, of course, that's a whole different podcast. But the point is that they redid the movie, and it's on Netflix right now. It's called Dune, with the sandworms and the Freeman and the land above the stars of an age tomorrow. And in the movie, it's like, and I put this, I shared on my Facebook. I said, I've just finished watching the new, or the Dune part one, because the actual part two is coming out, right? And I said, I feel like this is what ancient Egypt looked like in 12,000 years ago, right? Where they have this sort of this advanced civilization living in the desert with aliens and spacecraft, but still, you know, living in block, right? And so you're sort of, it looks like you're not advanced, but at the same time, you're very advanced, right? I don't know if you've seen the movie Dune, the new Dune, because the new part two is coming out. I saw that. But anyway, it's just, you know, all this stuff, right? And so I was watching this podcast with this guy, and he talks about how, you know, however long ago it was, 450,000 years ago, right? You know, we have these aliens were here. You know, advanced civilization was here. Anunnaki, right? I think that's what they're called. But they come down, right? And then they have this other civilization or this other group of people, right? And they're terrascaping the planet, right? This guy, you got to see this podcast because, and all this, apparently all this information is found in these tablets that have been found around the world, ancient tablets, you know, written on tablets or on palm leaves or whatever it is. But all of these ancient tablets have later been turned into like the Bible, right? And they talk about in the podcast how people pick and choose, human beings, right, have pick and chosen what they want out of these tablet writings that really explain how this other's race of people came to the planet and then started to form the planet and then sort of took DNA from an existing person, thing that lived on the planet, combined it with the Anunnaki, who in turn created a human, and through other experiments, finally made a pair of humans and began creating human beings. And I know this sounds stupid. You got to watch this podcast. I could not freaking believe listening to this guy and how smart he is and the way he talks about it. He's like, yeah, of course. What do you mean? And how he basically explains, you know, these people at some point decided they would take certain writings and then create the narrative through the Bible, right? And with the devil and all this stuff. And none of it's even true, right? None of it is even true. It's just a narrative that divides and conquers people, keeps us separated. You know, he claims that they put this DNA into, or they put these the things into the DNA, which, you know, gave us all different colors and sort of kept us separate because they didn't want us coming together. And it's just insane. And I'm like, where the hell did they get all this information? And apparently it's all written on these tablets. And apparently these tablets have been around, you know, obviously for a long time. But the way he's reading them, it's like, of course, this is what it's, you know, anybody that believes anything other than what these tablets say, you're silly. It was just a real eye-opening situation. And you know, talking about how, actually I'm not going to get into it. You got to check out this podcast, because I think that's one of the challenges that we have for moving forward is on certain things, is because we have this dogma, this pre-existing idea that this is how things were, right? You know, he talks about Adam and Eve. That story isn't really even true. Jesus, that story isn't really even true. It's just very, you got to see it, right? And I'm to each his own, enjoy whatever you believe, whatever keeps you insane, believe it. But, you know, when you listen to stories like this and you think, oh my God, if this stuff isn't true, right? And I think that's why, you know, when it comes to aliens and you know, this ancient civilization, if the truth is revealed, it would sort of undermine all of the stories that have been put into place that keep us sort of, that used to, right? That used to kind of keep us in, on a good path, right? I feel like I've said this a lot. Nobody's afraid of God anymore, right? Back in the day, you know, go back 200, 300, 400 years, right? And this narrative had been created through, you know, it sounds like these tablets, right? That's explained. I always just thought, you know, God made Adam, right? God made Eve and brought them together. And that's how we created. That was the story that I always thought that's how we came about. Not the case. This guy's like, first of all, you couldn't take two people and create 88 billion people, right? You can't, you know, even if Adam and Eve did have, or whatever they did, right, had a baby, or very stupid when it comes to this story. I'm not interested in it, right? Because I feel like I have an idea of how spirituality works in my life, and I'm not sure it falls into the same narrative that has been preached to me, right, through church and religion, which it turns out is a whole different thing, right? I find out through my own experimenting how it works with me. But, you know, I thought there was a story was Adam and Eve were the first two, right? And they create the rest of the planet, right? It is bizarre. My mind was blown last night on this podcast. And, you know, I mean, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, go check it out. It was really cool. And I believe even more. Like he says that Satan and hell wasn't even introduced into the Bible until like the 1600s. I don't even know if that's something like that. Like it was this, and it makes sense. Like, oh, right. If you do this, you're going to burn in hell, right? And not just in like this bad place, but burning in hell for millions and billions of years, eternity. You just die and burn in hell. Who wants that, right? But I'm sure that narrative kept people from, like, committing suicide, right? There's been times in my life has been down so low where I've considered killing myself, right? And I think it's less of dying and really more of just getting attention, right? But that thought has come through my mind. But there's always the back burner that's like, do you want to burn in hell your whole life, right? I really want to go to heaven, right? Who knows if heaven's real, right? For each of our own journeys, right? But it's just this, you know, I can see how it would keep people sort of in line. And it talks about, like in the Bible, how Jesus says, telling slaves to love their slave owners as they love Jesus, right? Love your slave owners as you love me, right? And treat your slave owners as you would treat me. Like saying that slavery was okay, right? And clearly that is not okay, right? We're not. That is not something that takes place today, but I guess back then, you know, it was a narrative. And, you know, you could, according to this guy, right? This is all according to this Carson guy. And he's like, you know, the narrative was like, listen, to keep the slaves in line, the narrative was like, you know, do this because this is what Jesus would want, or this is what God would want, right? It's just, I'm not going to go too far into this because I don't know a lot about religion. I just saw this guy last night, and I was blown away. And so if you're into that stuff, go check him out. I thought it was super cool. I totally dig that. Evidence God found in DNA code in the ancient book of Enoch, Billy Carson. And let me see if Billy Carson. Yeah, go check it out. It was really cool. But the whole point I really brought that up was because – you know, it's these narratives, right, that are set, and they've been set for a long time, and they've been set for many different things, right? And, you know, I sort of had this preset narrative when it came to God, and it came to a higher power, or it came to God of my understanding, or it came to, you know, whatever it is, right? Because there's many sort of, for me at least, these little avenues that all seem like the same thing but aren't called the same thing. And, you know, when I started to... you know, and I shared this before, running sort of exposed this self-centered side of me that I wasn't aware of. People would call me selfish. You're selfish, right? And I'd be like, whatever. I don't know what that means, right? I mean, I know what the word means, but I can't see it in myself, right? And so when you start to dig and look And all of a sudden you can start to see it in ourselves, right? That's humility. I didn't understand how that worked, right? But I've heard about it, right? People talk about it. You got to be humble, man. You know, you're not an I person. We're a team, right? We got to have humility. I'd be like, yeah, I don't know what that means, right? But then when I started to understand, if I could step back and say, hey, are you selfish? I mean, are the rumors true? Is the word on the street true about you? Are you a selfish guy? And then I could start to see it, right? Because that is giving myself some accountability, right? That's starting to take responsibility for my behavior, right? I'd step back and say, ooh, maybe you are a little bit, right? And that's humility, right? People have talked about it, didn't understand it. But when I start to experience it, right, I feel it in my heart, right? I feel it in my soul. I feel it, you know, deep within, you know, and I think that's one of the things about getting sober for me was these feelings that start coming back and start to experience this stuff. And you're like, oh my God, what is that feeling? Right. I remember, you know, just all these little God creases in my life that have happened through getting recovery, different things, saying different things to people, you know, telling my buddy Scott, he was a chatty Cathy, and he told me that hurt his feelings. And I remember this pain that came over my heart, right? Because I didn't realize that my sarcasm and my, you know, my comments were hurtful, right? I didn't realize that. And when someone pointed them out, especially somebody that I looked up to early on in recovery, and they point them out and they're like, really? What an asshole you are for saying something like that. You're like, oh. And then that feeling, what's that feeling, right? And I started to experience these things and I started to pay attention. Of course I'd heard the narrative, right? But it's one thing to hear and it's another thing to live them. And when I started living them and experiencing them, I started to fall away from this pre-existing narrative that had been written for me about how I'm supposed to experience spirituality and a relationship with God or a higher power. And today I think about how my relationship with God is, and I really don't think the bad part is according to this guy, there really isn't any of this, you know, these stories, right, that have taken place. And whatever it is, it sounds like, you know, it's a different civilization from a different time, from a different place. Right, it's like according to him, you know, the Earth didn't even exist. Right, there was this other planet, and this other planet collided with this other solar system, which broke this planet up. A chunk of this planet that was pre-existing, right, broke off, and that's what turned into Earth. Part of that other thing turned into the Moon, right? And so there's like ancient civilizations. There's remnants of ancient civilizations that weren't even part of Earth; that were a part of this other planet. Right, that now got knocked by another planet and then turned into Earth, right? And so the way this guy talks about, and apparently it's all written on these ancient tablets. I'm like, what? No one talked about that. You know, we're all so busy looking in the sky for UFOs. Apparently these ancient tablets talk about how the Anunnaki, right, had come down with these other people or civilization or whatever and sort of came together. And it talks about how the Anunnaki brought down these other people, and these other people did all the work, and then they finally came and said, listen, we're tired of doing all the work. And that's when they somehow created, you know, a human, you know, and put us to work, and then eventually left us here, right? All in the podcast, right? Don't, you know, it's just a fun Friday story, right? Fun Friday. But I find that shit fascinating. And I guess, like, my whole point is, you know, if a person is struggling to find a relationship with a higher power or God, right, or whatever it is, just start to experiment, right? And you know, find that little prayer that sort of, you know, dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. It's really just the battle of that self-centeredness and humility. And it's pretty crazy, right? And I've shared this, you know, I searched and searched to find the relationship that, you know, person to my right had with God. And I searched high and low to try to find the relationship with the person on my left had with God. And I couldn't find that one. And so now I've sort of left that and just kind of going through it and feeling what feels good and what doesn't feel good. And I guess what I was going to say is part of me is like a little disappointed because I don't find that I have a whole lot of work to do to maintain the damn relationship, right? This isn't like, you know, I've also kind of grown up with this punishing God, right? If you don't do this, you lose this, right? If you don't do this, this is where you go. And what I found is if I don't do this, I just suffer, right? I'm just uncomfortable, right? It just doesn't feel good. I've lived many years like that, though. It's doable. But what I found today is that I can have this simple relationship, this simple, for me at least, a place of humility, right? Not, I'm not perfect at it, but for the most part, a place of humility. And I'm just living a pretty comfortable life, right? I'm just, you know, and when things, you know, people talk about anxiety. And someone said that anxiety is God letting you know there are things that you still have to work on. It's to help me, right? Anxiety doesn't, for me, right, from my experience, if you're having anxiety and it's debilitating, you know, that's your journey, right? And do whatever it is you have to do to make that go away. But for me, what I learned is this is every time I have anxiety, I can usually figure out where it is that I have fallen short, right? Different things that I should do. You know, my son's going, he had anxiety yesterday. Why? Because he had a project that was due that he didn't do. And he had anxiety about it. And of course you have anxiety because you have fallen, he has fallen short on that project. Happens to me all the time. You know, anxiety doesn't have to be, for me at least, a something that ruins my life. I try to look at it as something that really is somebody up there giving me a nice reminder of, hey, you could do better on some of these things. Could do better. I don't know. I wanted to talk about this freaking podcast that I watched last night. I hope that I gave it some justice. I hope I don't sound like a complete buffoon. But, man, that one changed my life a little bit last night, watching that podcast. So check it out. Once again, it is called Danny Jones, Evidence God Found in DNA Code. That title's a little strange. God Evidence Found in DNA. I don't know if that should have been written. Anyway, his name is Billy Carson. Check him out. He's really good. All right, let me see if I can do a Daily Reflections. And get out of here. I got to work today. Back to work. Even though I just worked yesterday too. So, all right. Rescued by surrendering. Characteristics of the so-called typical alcoholic is a narcissistic, egocentric core, dominated by feelings of omnipotence, intent on maintaining at all costs its inner integrity. Inwardly, the alcoholic brooks no control from man or God. He, the alcoholic, is and must be the master of his destiny. He will fight to the end to preserve that position. Okay, that's AA Comes of Age, page 311. All right, the great mystery is, why do some of us die alcoholic deaths fighting to preserve the independence of our ego, while others seem to sober up effortlessly in AA? Help from a higher power, the gift of sobriety, came to me when an otherwise unexplained desire to stop drinking coincided with my willingness to accept the suggestions of the men and women of AA. I had to surrender, for only by reaching out to God and my fellows could I be rescued. Sort of what I was talking about, right? Trying to figure out that relationship. I guess the whole point is, you know, I hear about how to have a relationship from everybody. I'm pretty interested in trying to figure out how to have and recognize my own relationship. And, you got to experiment, try a few things, say a few prayers, right? Go for a run. Pay attention to how much you think about yourself, right? It's all out there. And check out that podcast, Danny Jones. All right, have a great day. Bye.